We want to look at Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Just read one verse. We'll surround it a bit, but as we bow our hearts, before we read this, let's bow our hearts in prayer and ask God's blessing on His word. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You, Lord, for Your word, and we ask Your blessing upon Your people. Think, O Father, of the passing of John Bullen today, and we ask, God, that You'll be with that family in particular. Watch over them and draw them softly and gently before Your throne. Minister in grace to them, for we commit them to You in Your care, and for we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I apologize to the guy that said Dene, I guess, in the sound room. I said Ephesians 3:20 and the New King James Version, and I see that you have the King James up there, so it's a little bit different, but that's okay. But I should have had that for you. But we'll work with. I'll be reading from the New King James, but you'll see what you see, and I appreciate him putting that up there. In each of our lives, we face challenges. There are times in which we look within ourselves for help, and we look to God for help. Most people who face challenges at some point will pray. And often when people are facing those types of challenges, tragedies or crises in their home or relationships, I've learned that I can ask them a question, and usually they'll give me a very honest answer. And that is, are you praying? And most people will say yes. But I've learned that I need to take it one step further. And the next step is, well, are you praying for help? Or are you praying for a relationship with God or with Jesus? Most of the time, people are saying they're praying for help, because they'll be honest about that. God help me, you know? I don't know what to do or where to go or how to handle this. And you know, that's a prayer that a lot of people pray, even if they don't know God. There's many people that will pray that type of help me God prayer. If I could get a drink of water, that would be a real blessing, you know, I think. It's not an emergency, but I feel the need is possible. So as we ask God for help, sometimes people wonder why. Maybe they need to get the pastor to pray for them for help, you know? Or they need to go to somebody else, or they'll call their family relatives, or they'll call their grandmother, or they'll call their grandfather and say, I know God answers your prayer, so you pray for me. But you know, the challenge that we have before us is that God wants to meet your need, but He wants to establish a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the answer. That's the key. That's the key right there. That opens the door for everything else. And so no matter the situation we find ourselves in, whether it's relationship tangles, temptation, and even the sorrows of death, the love of God exceeds the circumstances that you find yourself in. And He wants to walk with you and love you and have you trust Him. Well, thank you, sir. Bless you. Thank you. This is chilled. The best kind. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to leave the top off that just for convenience sake. Hopefully it stays there. So read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, to Him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, to Him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Wow. New Living Translation says, and now glory be to God by His mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope for. Wow. Wow, that's the God we serve. The life of faith that we're called to challenges us to dedicate our hearts to Jesus and understanding how we should live for Him. It challenges us to dedicate yourself and to ourselves to living for Jesus and to learn to grow in Him. Expectations describe the heart and life of the believer who is blood-washed, spirit-filled, and tuned with God's word by faith. You know, there's a sense of expectation. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there's a set of expectations that we have. And so living within that realm of that expectations and seeing God do God's work, God's way in my life as I surrender to Him, living in the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, standing on His Word, that's where we really want to go this morning. That there would be something that would be a window in your soul that would be unlocked, that you would be able to recognize that God's plan and God's design, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond, exceeding your circumstances, exceeding the need of what you ask or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, help us to hang on and say, Lord, You lead me and give me the courage, the strength, and the faith to do Your will. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Paul, he creates the context in verse 20 in the previous four verses, and I'm going to read those from verse 16. He says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will give you mighty inner strength through His Holy Spirit. Verse 17, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Wow. That He will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. You know, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Praise the Lord. We see, read in verse 18, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you have the capacity, may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Now, Paul is saying it's not just certain people that should have that capacity, but as all of God's people should have that capacity to understand the presence of how deep God's love really is. Look in verse 19. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Hallelujah. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you'll never really truly understand it. And so even that which you don't understand, be prepared to experience. Rest in the love of God. Rest in the love of Christ. Even though you don't understand what's happening, rest in it. Experience it, live in it, walk in it, breathe in it, talk in it, pray in it, and be a child of God. Hallelujah. I can remember as a child being dependent on my mom and dad. I remember, you know, never question, you come home, there's food on the table. You know, there's chores to do that you didn't want to do, but you do them. You don't try to analyze everything. You just rest in it. I was the son of St. Clair Williams. I told people my father was a saint, you know, because he really was. His name was St. Clair Williams, you know. So my name is Fred Williams. And so but we rest in that. That's who I was. And in Christ, this is who we are. This is what Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and I think we are lessons that we need to learn. And somehow, God, help us to knock off the rough edges, that His Holy Spirit will knock off some rough edges today to enable us to fit into that place that God has designed for you, to fit into that place where you can be the person that He has designed for you to be in joy and love and strength and grace, with expectations, living by faith, and with expectations of seeing Jesus when He comes back again. And we're looking forward to the trump of the Lord that will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We look at that, we listen to that, but it becomes obscured, it can become cloudy, it can lose its meaning. But we see that we have a hope of a resurrection. Like we mentioned, we think of John Bullen this week as he's joined with his wife and others. We just commit them to the Lord and to the presence of God. And we just say, Lord, well, someday that will be us. You know, we don't dread it. We don't not expecting to go today. But you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that we rest in the presence of God and live by grace and do his word. I prayed as I come up this morning. I was just sitting there with Gwen and I was listening to the service as they progressed in beautiful worship, and my mind was going back to Brother Loader. Bill Loader was a pastor. He pastored here in Bathurst probably a century ago, but he was my pastor when I was a teenager in Lockport. And I remember him laying hands on me and praying when he knew that I was going off to Bible school. And when we were going into the ministry, he said, pray that God would give me the tongue as the pen of a ready writer. And I don't know if you've ever heard him use some of those phrases before, but he prayed that way. And I said, Lord, let me experience that this morning, just the liberty of tongue. It was a pen of a ready writer. So, you know, I said, God bless Brother Loader and Sister Loader and the ministry that they had, even here in my hometown and my family, and also here in this church and in this community. We find that verse 20 describes a benediction as also an expectation. God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Most people are unsure what to ask God for, or even if they're able to ask God. And so we need to consider the thought that maybe we don't receive great things from God because we don't have great expectations of God. That was the thought that was going through my mind. So we want to look at some scriptures in the Word and find out what the Bible has to say. Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, John is accompanying Jairus to his home because his daughter is sick. He came to grab Jesus' attention and to come to his home to see his daughter might be healed. They received a message that while they were on their way to Jairus' home, that while he was yet speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. The family did not expect for Jesus to do anything now. There was the family message that came from Jairus' home was, don't bother the master or the teacher now. Your daughter is dead. You know the story. When Jesus arrived at the home, a crowd of mourners had gathered, and they were weeping and wailing. And it tells us in verse 40 that when Jesus told them that the girl was not dead, they laughed at him. They mocked him. And we see they had no expectations for Jesus to do anything. The family didn't expect Jesus to do anything. But we see that Jesus sent them all outside. And Peter, James, and John stayed there with Jesus. And the parents, Jairus, was there. And we find that Jesus turned to the little girl and said, Tabitha Kumai, little girl, get up. And she was raised from the dead. You read that in Mark chapter 5. Jesus ministered beyond the expectations of the family, the mourners, and even the parents. The majestic power of God revealed through Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. It wasn't tied to anything that they, message that they sent. In fact, the message was totally negative. But Jesus did something that surpassed their expectations. Jesus has the ability to surpass your expectations and my expectations. Anything that we can ask or think is what Ephesians says. Jesus was called to the tomb of Lazarus. He got the message from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick. Your friend is sick. And it tells us in John chapter 11 that Jesus waited 4 days. And he waited 4 days, and when he came, everyone was mourning. Jesus, in verse chapter 11, verse 38, was deeply troubled. They came to the grave. It was placed in a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. It tells us Jesus wept as he stood there with the mourners. But then verse 39, he says, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he's been dead for 4 days. Excuse me. They had no expectation for Jesus to do anything. But Lazarus, he was dead in the tomb. They knew that he was beginning to decompose. But in John chapter 11, verse 49 or 43, Jesus showed it. Lazarus, come out, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Hallelujah. Amen. Unwrap him and let him go. He was able to do exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think. Like, it wasn't in their minds, it wasn't in their heart, it wasn't in their voice, it wasn't, they were dealing with disappointment because Jesus had not come when they asked for him to come. Expectations, somehow. Mark chapter 19, Jesus describes the word describes a blind beggar named Bartimaeus who was sitting at the road. And when Jesus passed by, as he was leaving Jericho, he was crying out, Jesus, son of David. But the crowd tried to hush the beggar from asking for help. Have mercy on me. They had no expectation that Jesus would do anything. But you know, the crowd had no expectations, but Jesus stopped the crowd and he healed the blind man. And in this case, he said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. So that there's something about expectations that connects with Jesus Christ. There's something about faith that connects with Jesus. It's in this equation, if there is such a thing as an equation. It's a trust, really, and a love. And there's something about faith here, and yet we see two previous times where there was no expectations, but Jesus showed his glory. Jesus showed his power. Jesus revealed his love. Jesus met the need. Jesus did something special. We see that they are able to clearly identify that it was Jesus who made the difference. Sometimes in our lives, things happen. We just say, oh, that just happened to be the right thing at the right time. I guess I was lucky. And we don't understand that God is doing something to bless you, that God has allowed something to happen or is doing something in a very special way because he loves you. We need to understand again that we rest in the word of the Lord. We rest in the presence of God. We rest in the love of God. And I'll understand that our roots need to go down deep into the love that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that mixed in with that whole situation, with all the various aspects of our humanity and the needs and the tragedies and the stories and the events and the crises that come our way, because we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. He is able. He is able. And I suggest to you this morning that as we rest in him, he is willing. But we need to open our hearts. And I have a little more to say here, I guess, this morning. But we need to open our hearts and rest in him and tie ourselves to him and to his word. We see that Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and 20 know that God was able to do again exceeding abundantly above all that he asked or think. And I want to make some observations about Paul's teachings. In verse 16, I've read it already, he said, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Exceeding great expectations are rooted in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. They're rooted in God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, he said that you were able to your mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. His glorious unlimited resources will give you the mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is at work and is a part of that equation. Verse 17, we see that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him, as I trust in him. Expectations are rooted in the relationship of trust that we have with Jesus in our heart. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Sometimes the simplicity of trust. Gwen and I were my second year of Bible school. I lived in Port Hope, Ontario. And Sister Brother Whitman, as I attended Bible school in Peterborough, and Pastor Bob referred to the Bible school experiences. And these are one of those experiences that we had. I was driving an old 67 Valiant Chrysler, slant 6, 170 cubic inch motor, and you know, good, not bad on gas, but, you know, it needed a lot of other things. Anyway, we had no money. And I had read George Mueller's his story of Bristol, England. He didn't ask for any money. I said, I don't think you should ask for money. I'll just pray. God, he's my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. And so we prayed. And I said, Gwen, well, we're on our way to Bible school. She said, well, how are we doing for gas? I said, well, it's on empty. I said, but we got 27 miles to go. I said, so we'll just drive there. Maybe there'll be some money there, because we had a little, you know, mail thing at the Bible school. Everybody had their student mail. And maybe there'll be a card there. So we drove to Bible school, went to class, came out, checked the mail, nothing there. We're back in the car. And I said, Gwen, I said, did you get any money today? Nope, I didn't get any either. Nothing came in the mail. Nope, okay. We prayed and headed home. I said, well, I don't know how far we're going to go. I said, because it's down below the E, you know what I mean? Like the hand is down below the E. And I said, maybe we're driving on fumes. I still remember when I teased her. She said, how far can we go on fumes? You know, we drove to Port Hope. Just kept going. Got to the, so the only place I know where there could be any mail would be at the post office. So we went to the post office. We shared our box with the lady that hosted us, and we had an apartment in her basement. We went to that post office box, and there was a card from Gwen's mother. It had $10 in it. I drove to the gas pump. I wasn't going to, you know, challenge God at all. I just drove right straight to the gas station, the closest one. 12.3 gallons is what it took. And it was a 12-gallon tank. I told Gwen, I think we filled the spout up too, you know. That was only 41 cents a gallon back in those days. You know? So $10 went a long ways, you know, but it wouldn't do much today. But I do know this, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he had that set up weeks before, or I don't know how fast the mail was, but it was snail mail. You know what I mean? Like, he had that all set up. And so what we were doing, we had to rest in the Lord. We just had to walk in his spirit and do what he had called us to do and be faithful to him and trust him and not despair and not panic and not stop and say we got to get wave somebody down or go beg something from somebody else. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's knowing that God is our provider, that he is more than enough, that he is God Almighty. He is El Shaddai, and he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Hallelujah. Paul understood that. We can grow in that and understand that. And Ephesians 3, verse 19 says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will be never truly understand it. You will be filled with the fullness of love, of life and power that comes from God. Expectations are the natural, supernatural result of experiencing the love of Christ fill in your life. They're the natural, the supernatural, the natural supernatural result of experiencing the love of Christ filling your heart, filling your life. That's the result. Trust. Expectations. How is God going to meet this need? I don't know, but I know He's going to. He's going to surprise us. And He does do things like that. He surprises you. He provides for you. He enables you. He strengthens you. He lifts you up. He doesn't cast you down. Paul says, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It is important that our expectations match the need and that God's provision in Jesus Christ, so the kingdom of God will be established. It's important. The problem that I observe is that many times we do not receive answers from God, and I experience it too, because we often measure our faith against our need. We measure our expectations or our faith against our need. But we need to learn to measure our need against God's promises and God's provision and God's word. We don't measure our need by our faith because our faith is small. Our faith is weak. And yet we need to learn to measure our need against God's word, against God's provision, against God's promises, and stand on His word and trust Him. And trust Him. And as you trust Him, see it come to pass. Pray about it. Commit it to the Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord put that witness within your heart that which you have asked for, He has already provided, and it's just a matter of seeing it come to pass. We have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He, if we know, there's the key word right there, if we, K-N-O-W, if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have received that which He has prepared for us to receive. In 1 John chapter 5, help us, O God, to learn to walk with You. In Mark, we see that Jairus did keep his eyes on Jesus. He did obey Jesus emphatically. He did receive his daughter back to life again from Jesus. His need was measured against Jesus' presence, character, and word. That's where Jairus was standing. Jairus didn't know what all the chaos and the swirling and the tragedy and the sorrow that was swirling around him. He just kept his eyes. I can see that. He kept his eyes on Jesus. And when he kept his eyes on Jesus, Jesus did something that nobody expected him to do. Hallelujah. Because he kept his eyes on Jesus. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and let Him be King and God in your heart and in your life. And Lazarus was dead. The second place that we look at, there was no faith or expectation of his resurrection, but there was worship of Jesus, worship of God that surpassed the circumstances. You know, my mind is going to Pastor Andrew and Pam. And Pam, a few years ago, took Carrie and our oldest granddaughter and their oldest daughter, who's 27 now, and a grandmother herself. And she took her to a service at the airport church. Pam wanted to see her exposed to the, and so they went there, and they were just worshiping God. Worshiping God, and as the story and the testimony goes, and I know probably Pastor Andrew has shared this with you, I would think. And so what's happened is God healed her jaw. She said, Mom, told Pam, Mom, God's doing, something's happening to my jaw. And they weren't, she didn't go up for prayer, nobody laid hands on her, nothing. But they were immersed in the presence of God. They were worshiping the Lord, and her jaw started to get hot. She said, my jaw is hot. Well, she said, tell the workers. So she told the workers, she went up and she went up into the front. And there's a story there. So I talked last year, I was talking to Carrie Ann. I said, Carrie Ann, your jaw is still the same? It's still back, it's still proper the way it was? And she said, yes, it's never ever gone back to where it needed surgery. And that was verified by the orthodontist in Chatham, Ontario. But anyhow, who was not a Christian, So that's you can check that out if you want to with them when they get home. But you know, the amazing part of it was God healed her jaw, and she didn't have to have surgery. She didn't ask God to heal it, but God did it because she was just worshiping the Lord. She was in the presence of God, worshiping God. And he who is mighty, he who is our Savior, he who is your Lord and who dwells within you, and you become the dwelling place of God by his Holy Spirit, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Wow, who is this one that we serve? He is the King of glory. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one who has made this world and created all that is in it, who invites us to bow in his holy presence and lift our hearts and receive of worship and of praise and desires to minister to you, to shape you, to mold you, to build you, to strengthen you, to lift you up, to empower you, to anoint you by his Holy Spirit, and to make you a vessel of honor unto God, that others might see the works of the Lord in your life and say, what is about this person? What is it that changes them? What is it that has set them free? What is it that gives them such grace and love and life? What is it that enables them? And you're able to point them to a Christ, an empty tomb, and a risen Savior who died upon the cross for them and took their place and bore their burden and carried their sin and bore their sorrows and the shame of their life, so that they could know the presence of God and the love of the Lord, and the roots of their life, the roots of their spirit, could be thrust down deep into the love of God that would be revealed in majesty and in honor and glory, for the kingdom of God to be established in Bathurst and in New Brunswick and throughout the world, that the work of the enemy, that the onslaught of the devil might be held back and might be defeated, and the kingdom of God might be established in your heart, in your life, in your home, in your family, in your children and your grandchildren, that you might be able to pass unto them that which will hold them for generations to come, or until Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. And we stand together in the presence of a living Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Because he is King, because he is God, because he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. And in the Old Testament, and reading in Exodus, I'm just about through here this morning, we read in Exodus 33 of how that Moses, when he met with God, he asked God if he could see him. He said, Moses said, I'd like to see you. And God said, no. God said, no. But he said, stand here in this rock, in the cleft of the rock, covered him with his hand. Then he said, he covered Moses over partially. He said, and when I pass by, you'll see the lesser part of me, or the hinder part, or the back part of me. But no man can look at God's face and live. So we find that Moses experienced that. And you should read Exodus 33. It's a powerful story. That it's something that will lift your heart and challenge your faith, and to say, oh, Moses was a man of God. So we see that that's happened in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we receive from Jesus. You know, the Old Testament, Moses received less from God than he asked for. But in the New Testament, we receive more from Jesus than we asked for. We receive more from Jesus than we asked for. In both the Old and New Testaments, the place of safety is in the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's the place of safety. Moses said, he said, you stand here. He said, I'm going to cover you with my hand. He said, you'll see part of me, and you'll be safe. The challenges of life that come, and you say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to my mind or my heart or my family or my, I feel like I'm all being pushed and pulled and torn up emotionally, and I don't know where this is all going to end. But you come to Jesus, and you come into his presence, and you kneel before him, and he wraps arms of love and grace around you and tells you that he loves you, and you know you're safe. You know you're safe as long as you stay there in the presence of Jesus Christ and don't do anything that he hasn't given you permission to do or direction. Don't go off on your own tangent because that's when tragedy knocks. But we know this, that the rock that Moses was hidden on is the same picture of the rock in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is the rock. And the place of safety is the rock. Jesus Christ, the rock upon this stone, he said about Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't talking about the apostle Peter. Peter was the stone. But the rock is Jesus Christ. The one that gave forth water in the desert was the rock. And that was Jesus that Moses had struck. We see that Moses stood there on the rock in safety while God passed by. The invitation today is when we shift our eyes from our need and place them on God, place them on Jesus, recognizing that God is so much greater than our need. When we are expecting from God today, we ask ourselves what the needs are, and we measure sometimes it against our faith, but the Lord tells us to measure it against his promise and to rest in his grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. And that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Because our roots are going down deep. Hallelujah. Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We love you. We need you. We worship you. We bless you. We pray, God, your blessing upon these people. We pray, Father, you will strengthen them. They'll be encouraged with the knowledge of your grace and of your wonderful love and of what you are doing in their lives and what you want to do and the more that you want to bless them with. I pray, God, that they will see the hand of God at work in deliverance in those around them, that they will see answers to prayer, and that they will see the hand of God revealed in salvation and healing and in great for the glory of God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask those who are helping with communion this morning. Praise God. To come and gather. The worship team is going to come. And this morning, if you're here as a visitor, you're here and you're in that place in your life where you're considering, what is God, what does it all mean in my life and in my heart? I would invite you to consider that Jesus, to know that God loves you. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that the word invites you to step out in faith and in grace and love and life. And trust him and know that he will carry you into his presence. And that you can serve him with joy and confidence. Hallelujah. You just need to pray. Open your heart and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here visiting, you've never partaken of communion before and you're not sure what's going on, this is a cup of juice and a wafer that you'll receive. And as you receive it, we invite you to just simply recognize that, or if you want to pass it by if you're not saved, and feel free to do so and not be embarrassed. But we're going to bow in the presence of God and worship him this morning. Father, we thank you today. We ask, oh God, your blessing on your word, and blessing on these emblems, and blessing on this church. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, Spirit of the living God, rest upon each one. May they receive of you and watch and grow in you. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and Jesus paid it all to him. I
Tells us in Luke chapter 22, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we ask your blessing upon this bread and upon these emblems, upon this juice, and we commit it to you. We pray, God, that you will manifest your grace, reveal your glory, touch your people. Strengthen each one, for we celebrate your death and your resurrection and your presence here this morning. We love you, Lord. We worship you, and we thank you for these people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Take the wafer in the bottom cup. Could we share that together this morning? Supper. Jesus, when he had met with the disciples for this Passover on the eve of his crucifixion, he said, "I've desired to partake of this time with you." And he said, "This cup, it represents his blood of the New Testament that is shed for you." Could we partake of it together this morning?
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, Pastor. Precious Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Williams. Amen. You have yourself a great day in the Lord's presence, and Lord willing, we're not raptured before. We'll see you next Lord's Day. God bless you.
Jesus, made it all.
That's okay. He wants to quit and stop. Yeah, let's do it. Come on, Richard. Can't stop. No, no, we're just doing it. Yeah, they'll do it once we start.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.